I don't know who you are that I sent that message for on Monday about what protect your mind, but I feel that's still here tonight. I still feel there are some people, you got the devil messing with your mind, trying to sow confusion, turn you against people. Whoever you are, you need to realize that God's trying to help you. You need to get control of that before it overcomes you and consumes you. Matthew 22 and 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. The second is almost as important as the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I want to preach to you for a couple minutes just on the topic of loving people. Would you bow your heads if you're going to pray?
Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this presence that we've already felt in this place, Lord. I just pray that you just continue to move throughout us, Lord, whatever it is that we're struggling with in this place, Lord. I pray that you anoint the word that you have given, Pastor, Lord, that we would just, Lord, whatever it is that we bring into this place, Lord, that you could just speak to us, Lord, that you open up our ears and that you and your will would just be fulfilled in this place, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated if you'd like to. We know the question was presented to the Lord in the scripture, who is my neighbor? The word neighbor literally means close by proximity, a fellow countryman, or even a fellow Christian. So a fellow countryman would be your neighbor if you think about other countries. So if a fellow countryman or fellow Christian is my neighbor, Jesus said the second commandment is almost as important as the first. Or I would say he said that it's just as important to love your neighbor as it is to love me. 1 John 4 and 20, it says, if a man say I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, first of all, the word hate, when he says if he hates his brother but says he loves God, he's a liar. That word hate just simply means to love less. That's all it means. To love less. Now, if you'd like me to put that into perspective for you, I would say this. What length would you go through for your family when they were in need? Or what length would you go through for the dirty kid's neighbor or the dirty neighbor? If you love them less, or you would do less for them than your own family, that is hatred in God's eyes. There is no status with the Lord. There is no, I like her, him better. There is no bothering God, as was already said. There is no he, big me, and little he, or however that's said. The scripture said if you claim to love God, but you love your neighbor less, then you're a liar. Now, I'll expound in a few moments, but I just want to go through a couple more texts. You don't have to turn here if you don't want, but 2 Timothy 3:2 says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. Now, if you want to consider that text for just a moment, consider the length that you might go through to make yourself look good. Or what length might you go through so you could have whatever it might be. New car, new house, more groceries, whatever. It says, in the last days, men should be lovers of their own selves. I could ask you this question this way and parallel it side by side with 1 John 4. And that is, however much you're willing to do for yourself, however hard you're willing to work for yourself, would you do the same for your neighbor, for your fellow countryman, for your fellow Christian? And I got news for you. Just because you don't like them, it doesn't make them less of a Christian. Matthew 25:31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. I've said before, but I'll just say it for somebody's benefit. They both go bad. They both sound the same, but their DNA is different. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. Naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came unto Me. Consider the last verse 36. Naked, sick,
my mind's failing me the name. What is convict? I know I should know that. Naked, sick, and convicts. You took special care of the naked, the destitute, the less lovable, less noticeable, those that have nothing to offer you. They've got nothing to give you in return. And then the righteous shall answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee and hungered and fed Thee and thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we a stranger, took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? When saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, My brethren, you have done it unto Me. The word least literally means least in size, amount, or least in dignity. Those not as important. It would be a great offense to God, and the Scripture talks about if one man walks to the back of the church and he's really a poor man or a beggar, and you don't even greet the poor guy, and then the rich man walks in, you know he's got plenty of money to give, and you go grab him and you walk him up, and you want to give him a special seat. The Bible clearly helps us to understand that God does not look at that very kindly at all. God does not look kindly at the fact that we treat somebody better because of their position or because of what they have. You see, when we treat people better because of what they have, the fact is we hope to get something from it. And that means I love myself. That's what it boils down to. But when you love somebody else, and let me talk about the least of these just for a moment, because the least of these, it's not the Lord's perspective. He's appealing to our perspective and the way we look at people. He's not saying, I look at these people as being the least among you. He said that you view these people as a lower class or less important person. or not relevant. If you would readily open the door because the pastor walks in, I appreciate that respect. You should do the very same thing when the homeless man visits church that day. And if you would go get the pastor a bottle of water or anybody else, you should do the same thing to the nobody. Or when I say nobody, you don't know who they are. And you don't know what they have to offer. And you might not even like what they look like. I don't know. But my helper can go ahead tonight. The least of these. Now, for us, I know I've talked about this stuff before. And what do you have on your face, real quick? What's on your face? Chicken feed? And what else? Manure. Now, it's devotion when you ask for a living prop. Manure. Remember that when he comes to sit by you. One of my earliest memories from pastoring was a family who we actually are fortunate enough to still have an extended part of this family still come to church here. But they lived in a trailer. And there is absolutely no words to describe the filth. What I'm going to describe to you is going to be as mild as you can imagine. Because when you walked in, there'd be dumped cereal on the floor and pizza scattered around and old and food scattered everywhere. And filth. The kids were filthy. When you walked in the bedrooms and the hallways, as the Lord is my witness, and I've got other witnesses here, clothes piled this high. There were no beds. There were bed frames with no mattresses and clothes piled this high that you had to walk over mountains of clothes. You know why that was? Because people always felt sorry for them, kept giving them clothes, and they didn't learn how to take care of anything. And I remember the one day I sat down. I went over to visit the kids, and one of the little girls walks up, and she was probably 8, I think, at the time, and she was filthy, had food dried up, ground into her, and she sat right on my lap. Now, do you think it was a little gross? Sure it was. You think I shoved her off? Of course not. No. I remember many times over the years people telling me, now I don't deem this a problem here that I know of, but telling me that they didn't want to pick somebody up because they were too dirty. I don't want them in my car, Pastor. Well, enjoy your car because it's hot where you're headed if you don't change something. Enjoy it. If your car and your pretty little coach purse and your nice little silk tie is more important than loving on the least of these, you have a problem ever being with Jesus for eternity. It won't happen because he said you've got to love the least of these. And when you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. The Lord takes it very personal on how we view this world. He takes it very personal on how we minister or reach out to people in general. And we've had to practice what we preach. We've had the things that have sat on our furniture you would not even know. It's the truth. Not that we're, you know, tooting our own horn. I'm just saying we've tried to practice this lesson for many, many, many years. And it's a rough day in the kingdom of God when we put more stock, and I'll take it beyond valuables in just a second. Am I okay? Do I have to scream to keep your attention? We good? Make sure, Cole, make sure you get around to everybody, especially those that are dressed really nice. You might want to lay your face on their shoulder too. I'm okay with that. So the least of these, the Lord said, it's not my perspective, it's your perspective. Matthew 26 and 6 says, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, watch this text. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head. And he sat at meat, as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, first, let's establish something. This had nothing to do about waste. It had everything to do about the person. And I'm going to prove it to you. Because there are two things that are very important in the first two verses here. Number one, Jesus was in the house of a leper. And do you know why that woman came into that house? Because she knew if he'll go into a house of a leper, he'll probably welcome me. That's why she went in the house. Because he had already led by example. And he had proven to her that he'll love the least of these. And he'll fellowship with the least of these, and he'll sup with the least of these, and he's not too big or not too proud to sup with them. Understand this. Listen to me. I know he's having fun, and I've asked him to do it, but just give me a few moments of your time. The most important part of those of that text is, first, he was in the house of the leper. Second, came the woman with the alabaster box, who was a harlot of some form, we know. And third, they had an indignation because they considered it waste. But I don't believe it was waste. I believe if the princess of the kingdom had walked in, they'd have been perfectly fine with her pouring that. I believe it was her who they didn't like. It was her they had indignation about. And the proof is in the first two verses. That's how we know it. And it's a very telling thing. It's a very telling thing if the reason she came into that house was because of where he was eating. Here's my question to you today, and I'm not criticizing anybody. Is someone like her, will they feel comfortable coming into your house? Will you eat with the leper? Will you eat with the one, oh my God, no, oh that's gross. Will you sup with that person? Let me tell you something. We've ate things that we've prayed about as we were chewing it. I'm going to preach now. I'm just being honest with you. God, please, in Jesus' name, touch it as it goes down. How was it? Good. Lord, forgive me. For I know not what I do, and I lie. Would you genuinely let me preach just for 30 seconds? If you won't sit down with somebody and sup with them because you're worried about how food is, then you probably need to have an altar call. Because sometimes that right there could change somebody's perspective of Christians because they don't feel like we're better than them. Some people that are not, we'll say super clean, they don't always realize it. They don't always understand it. Now, I know some of you intellectual folks would say, well, that's not true, Pastor, they know. Well, no, they don't. Because when you're raised one way, you don't understand. You don't see. If you were raised in an unclean home or an unclean environment, then those things, they don't stick out at you. You don't really realize it. Well, I could tell you some stories about myself you wouldn't like. When I was a kid, you can't do anything about it, Mom, so you're going to have to deal with it. I hardly ever brushed my teeth. What kid likes to brush your teeth? Anybody got any kids? Don't even raise your hand, you holy people. No, when I went to the dentist, we'd walk down 322 to go to the dentist in Orwell, and there was always a house that had a wild apple tree, and I always picked the apples on the way to the dentist, and I started eating them because I could feel it screeching across my teeth, and I felt like it was cleaning my teeth. Just being honest with you. I could tell you some other stories you wouldn't want to hear, so I'm not going to. About a young single man. What I'm saying is, sometimes, and I'm going to confess this tonight, my wife, after we got married, she taught me to be a better hygienic person. She did. Things that, as a young single guy, right, Kenny? Amen. We don't think about. Some of you other guys, I love you, but boy, you stink like crazy sometimes. I hope you get married too. I can't imagine. I understand. Well, I know I'm not even going to give you that. I'm not going to give you the sanitary or the gross stuff. The fact is sometimes we're just too much of a prince and princess. That's just the fact. God will cover you with the cat hair. God will cover you if it's dropped on the floor. And if you'll go to a fast food restaurant, I know some, I don't go to fast food restaurants. I don't eat anything. It's got over 4 grams of sodium. And I'm going to, okay, good. But you still don't know where it was made and what it was made out of, and you don't know nothing. You don't know. You don't want to know what happens in the restaurants and the back rooms. What I'm saying to you is, sometimes to love people is to suck it up and to eat what you got to eat and plead the blood of Jesus over it afterwards. And that is the truth. Now watch. Right now, everyone's like, God, I hope you don't think I'm feeling. I hope he just doesn't eat it because of that. No, you'll know by how much I eat. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. In Matthew 9 and 13, then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hand on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. All right, Cole, you've done a good job. You can sit. Go home and get a bath. I wonder how missionaries, I'll finish reading. I wonder how missionaries do it over in places where there's not any or hardly any running water. What do? You never hug them because they smell? Because they're sweaty all the time. Well, that's why I'm not a missionary. That's why you're not a Christian. I'm just going to be honest tonight. Then there were brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Now let's just put it in context, shall we? This was around 00 AD, or however you want to say it, BC. I don't know which one you do when you're right there in the middle, so I don't care. You smart folk can figure that one out. So, in those times in the world, there was a lot of just orphans that ran around, took care of themselves, stole food to live, whatever. You cannot convince me that these weren't dirty little children that had very little upbringing, that Jesus didn't welcome over, put his hands upon them, and pray for them. The disciples rebuked the kids for it. Imagine that. Imagine rebuking them because they want to be around the Lord. Imagine rebuking the children because they want to sit at the table with the leaders. They want to sit at the table with those that are on the platform all the time because they think you're just the coolest thing since sliced bread. Rebuking them because they want to sit and they want to eat with the pastor and his family. Imagine that. I couldn't imagine it. We've had all kinds of stuff stolen from our home over the years. We've had girls steal my wife's clothes. We've had guys steal from us. But we never stopped because we believe that you got to love people no matter what. You've got to love them and you've got to show them that you care about them and you've got to teach them mercy and all of that. There's just so much that this world needs to hear and they need to learn. You don't just take the ones unto you that you like the most and discard the ones you don't like. We all know it might be your children, it might be mine, but some kids are just annoying. You could tell because everybody avoids them like the plague. It might be the annoying kids that need a hug. God help us if we won't hug somebody because they smell. God help us. Help us. I can't even fathom it. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the problem here. I really don't know. Now, I would suggest if I'm preaching it, it's probably for all of us, some maybe more than others. You know what little children means scripturally? It is literally derived from the word
or the context, immature Christian. So don't just think you got to worry about the little snot-nosed brat. Sometimes you got to worry about the immature new babe in Christ that might still feel the same way and act the same way towards you. And they might want to be all around you. And they might want to jump in your car and go on a ride with you. It's called mentoring. It's called taking time for people, loving them. You cannot serve God and make your world just about you and your little home. But I got news for you. You got to open it up. You've got to open up your house, not just to the ones you like the most either. That's called fellowship. That's not loving the least of these. We don't want to make it a habit as a church. It's just inviting those we're closest to, and you never get the least of those ever invited to somebody's house. The least of those are never invited for fellowship. They're never invited out to go eat with the guys or the gals or whoever. The least of these. Think about a time. Now, I'm confident you'll all be able to relate to this, but maybe you won't. But you probably will. Think about the time where somebody came to your house that you consider somebody of nobility. It doesn't mean that, you know, they are in society's eyes, but you had a great respect and reverence for them. If something resonates with you, raise your hand real quick. That's it. Nobody else ever had somebody important. I was never important to you. Good God. I thought I was. Thanks, Jody. Nope. Oh, can't think of anybody. Nope. Think about how it made you feel. I remember, Susan, I'll never forget. You know what I'm talking about? I'll never forget, we had our annual church banquet. And I went over and I sat down by Susan. And she got all nervous. And she goes, whoa. I said, well, what? Well, the pastor's sitting by me. Do you remember that now? She don't feel that way anymore. That was only then. Now she's like, oh, the pastor's sitting by me. For a lot of these young guys, young ladies, how do you feel when you're down at camp or you're at conference and one of the big name preachers comes up and talks to you? You feel great. Who are you talking about? Xavier, you, who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? You raise your hand. Well, who came up and talked to you that you feel good about? My Lord, I never heard you talk so little in my life. I'll hurry. I remember one time, our district superintendent, I had taken up the offering at a NAM conference we did. And I'd shared something I felt like the Lord wanted me to share, and I sat down. He wasn't our superintendent at the time. It was a couple minutes later, I'm sitting there, and I suddenly look ahead. Don't look at me. I feel a hand go on my shoulder. I looked, and there he was. Well, he never talked to me. I probably never talked to him either, just for the record. Some of y'all like, they never talk to me. Well, do you talk to them? Well, I try. Well, try harder. You hear Bishop Nichols, you'd never think he's an introvert, but the man's an introvert. He'll tell you that all day long. You can't judge people based off what you see all the time. So he thanked me for my testimony, and he told me he felt like that God would use that someday for a lot of other people to encourage, and so on. And then he, of course, did what we were there to do. He gave an offering to North American Missions. And now I'm on the board with him, and I talk to him all the time, and developing a little bit of a relationship. But, boy, that day when he put his hand on my shoulder for the first time, I was like, wow, he came and talked to me. Do you know you are that to somebody? Do you understand, no matter what you think of yourself, you are that important person to somebody else? It means the world when you walk up and talk to them. It means the world when you come up and sit down beside them at a church fellowship. If you didn't come, then they can't experience that. Now, I know there are reasons. That's why every person who's a seasoned member of this church should be at every church fellowship. Number one, we don't have that many. Number two, because there is somebody there that would benefit, and they would be moved, in some cases, to tears if you sat down beside them. Get out of your little bubble. Get away from your little group. And it's natural. We naturally migrate to those we're most comfortable with. I understand that. But we have a mission and a commission, don't we? Sure we do. And if you do that, you never know how much you will change somebody's life. There was a couple when I left Parma, they told me years later, they said, the only reason we kept coming to church, we started coming, is because of you. They said, every service you came to us, and every service you greeted us, and you made us feel so important. My goal is to make every least of these feel that way. Do I succeed? More than likely, no. Because you can only stretch yourself so much. So you need the extension of the ministry to step in and then do that. We will never have to worry about growing a church and winning people for the Lord. And I certainly believe, I've got to believe, I'm going to lie to myself and tell myself that every single person is interested in growing the kingdom because they love people. So I'm going to lie to myself for a little bit and make myself believe that. You don't have to witness to people. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to show them how great you are quoting scripture. All you got to do is love them. That's all you got to do is just love them. Treat them like they're the world to you. And in reality, they are. Because if I represent the Lord, and he said, if you do unto the least of these, you've done unto me, then I know they're the world to him. And so I want to make them feel that way. It's easy. It's not hard. I'll not talk to people. Great. Don't talk to them. Go buy them a cup of coffee. Just call them up and say, hey, I want to come pick you up, get you a cup of coffee. The least of these. God help us if we won't visit somebody because their house is dirty. When you walk up to somebody, you are that nobility to them, whether you want to believe it or not. We're called to love people. We're not called to be church members. We're called to love people. You know, when you love them, you don't have a hard time convincing them of truth. They'll believe anything you say. Now, I'm not telling you to lie to them. I'm just saying it's not as hard as we think it is. All you got to do is love people. When you love them, you sup with them. Jesus supped with sinners. Jesus had no problem fellowshipping with lepers. He had no problem sitting down with a woman by the well. Wasn't an accident. You and I all know that. He didn't say, oh my God, you whore, you. How many men are you going to sleep around with? No. He sat down and he talked to her about the kingdom. He gently let her know that he knew of her sin only because, in my humble opinion, and it's right, because he wanted her to know, I know all your sin, but I still want you to be in the kingdom. I still love you that much. She said, I don't understand this. We don't have the Samaritans and the Jews. We don't have dealings with each other. You don't like us. You think we're lower than you. You think you're above us. He broke that mold. He shattered. Imagine when people look at you as being the up here in the church, and they as being the down there, and you sit down beside them, and they say, what? I thought you kind of just ate with the bigwigs. You're a bigwig to somebody, whether you want to believe that or not. They'll be blown away that you'll sit beside them. Blown away that you might even, Okay, I know I got to stop. I know my time is up, but just give me another minute. Do you know what the number one thing is I think of on holidays? Anybody want to take a guess? Everybody who does not have somebody to be with. And so sometimes, because it'll be a last minute thought, because I don't have time to think, I'll start jumping on the phone and scrambling and trying to find, you know, and we overload ourselves sometimes. So people aren't alone. You should never leave somebody alone on a holiday. What a great time to love them. Say, hey, come be a part of our family. We were down at Disney. We went through this Star Wars thing. Yeah, if you think it's sin, then whatever. Go pray. I don't care. And it was cool. They're taking you through this, and it was all part of the ride. And we had to line up, and, you know, the rebels were, you know, arresting us. And they had captured us. And so we realized that they start taking groups to tell you where to go, and you need six people in this one ride in this area. And so that one guy got stuck by himself with us. Help him. So I turned around. He was an Oriental guy, probably about in his early 30s. I said, "You with us?" I said, "You're in our dairy for the next 20 minutes." That's what I told him. That's why I didn't want him to feel awkward. I wanted him to feel comfortable. I mean, you'd feel awkward if they stuck you with a family of five you didn't know, especially my family. Just love people. I genuinely pray you will go home and you will ask God if you love people. No, don't tell me you love people. Ask God if you love people. Say, God, have I really shown the love of people? You're called to love people. You're called to sup with them. You're called to love on them. Make them feel like they're the world to you. Now, I know it's not. I know life is busy, and I'm not saying you got to be all bubbly all the time. Sometimes, you know, the way it goes. But love them. Now, inevitably, you preach something like this, and there's someone, you never loved on me. Really? Come on. Now, let's come off that. I've taken time away from my family a million times to try and sit with people. You only stretch yourself so far. There's always other people. But we try very, very hard to spread ourselves around to let people know we love them. Trust me, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be pastoring. I can tell you that much for a fact. Tell you for a fact. There's better paying jobs out there, and the church takes care of us well, and I'm thankful for that. There was a time we didn't have nothing for our first 10, 12 years of pastoring. So I don't know. How do you close? Maybe we could pray and ask God to show us, to make certain that we're doing all we can. If you would do it for your family, you should do it for a stranger. Now, I'm done. But let me be clear. I'm not saying pull somebody off the streets and bring them in and give them a room. You might be dead by morning time. Please don't. Now, there may be times. Do you know that downstairs, we've lived in our house for 20 years now. Do you know the downstairs of our house has never been ours in those 20 years we've been there? Somebody has always lived in that downstairs. Is that inconvenient? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You come home. It's late. You walk out in the kitchen. You want to get a popsicle. Drug Mart, different flavored popsicles in the bag. I eat two every night. In bed, my wife hates it. Did you know how maddening it is when you walk out to get a popsicle at 11 o'clock and there comes whoever that person is, and we've had a lot of them, come through the door, hey, how you doing? Oh, crap. I just want the popsicle so I go to sleep finally. And Jasmine's shaking her head, no, I'm not talking about you. There have been plenty of people in our house. So you know what you do? Now, there have been a few times. There's a time when Chantel lived down there, and one night I just couldn't have it. I said, Chantel, I love you, but I cannot talk. I'm brain fried right now. And that girl can talk. Is she in here still? She's probably back there somewhere. Oh, she left. Good. Poor girl. Man, she could talk to you at midnight like she just woke up. Don't ever invite her over late. Don't tell her I said that. It's on YouTube. Shucks. The camera. I thought Brad was posing. He's pointing to the camera. Yeah, it's been an inconvenience to us, but we've tried to help other people. If God has made a way for us, we want to bless other people. I'm not telling you you have to do what we do. I'm not telling you that. Now, when she's out, we said, that's it. We're done. We're going to claim our downstairs. And we're not mad about it. We love. Jasmine has been a blessing to us. Chantel was. She took more of my time than I. But that's okay. There have been many others. Brother Chris and his wife stayed down there for a while. Greg Buckner, Gabe Garriga. Who else? No, he didn't live there. Can you think of anybody else? There's been too many. For 20 years. Do you know, it could be very well be that you have an extra room in your house and God might move on you and encourage you to give them a place, not to stay, a place where you could love them and show them what a family is for a while. You know how many people don't know what a family is? They don't know what it means to be a part of that. So many. I don't know. Bow your heads. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, no greater love hath this that a man would lay down his life for his friend. You taught us, God, what true love really was. While we were yet sinners, you still loved us. You loved us when we were ugly in the world, full of sin and reproach. But yet you loved us like we were your own. I pray that the church will be able to love in this godless, broken, crying out for help world. Help us to love somebody the way you loved us. Help us to pour into them. And even though it's hard and it's taxing at times, God, give us the strength to do it because you would do it. If you were here, you would. And when you tried to rest, they came to you. And because you loved them, you pulled yourself out of your bed and you went and did one more miracle. You loved on one more person. You fed one more person because no greater love is this than a man would lay down his life for a friend. Let this church love, Lord, the way you loved. Not loving is letting people live in sin, but loving them through it as you teach them to come out of it and as you teach them to live a life that is holy and acceptable unto the Lord. As you teach them, God, how to grow in your mercy and grow in your grace. During that time, they need somebody that will love them unconditionally, no matter what they look like, what they have. God, to love them, to hug them, to sup with them. Teach us, oh God, how to love the way you loved. I pray in the wonderful name of Jesus. Would you continue to pray that prayer right now as they sing? Let it be a heart tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
From the inside, from the inside of me, may you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me free. is all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high, is all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high.
Watch this real quick. Sorry, Tyler. You want to fix some of your struggles? Bring somebody into your house that will force you to be accountable. Because you don't want to bring them in and then be vulgar towards your spouse, have a foul mouth, or any of those things. So sometimes as you love on people, God begins to love on you and help you overcome your weaknesses because we understand how important being an example is. It always comes full circle. You will reap what you sow. If you will love on people, you better be careful because it may be your child turned into a drug addict and needs someone to love them. Oh, that'd never be my child. You can't control it. Who do you think you are? God himself. It might be your child that backslides. You better start loving on a backslider now. It might be your child that becomes an alcoholic and they need someone to love them. You better start loving an alcoholic now. I'm telling you, we reap what we sow. If you love people right now, no matter where they are, the least of these, I promise you, God will make sure if you ever have that need in your life, somebody will be there to love them and to make them feel like they can be restored and they can be special and important to somebody. Hallelujah.
From the inside of me, may you delight in the inside, in the inside of me. Come fill my life from the inside, from the inside of me. Set me on fire from the inside, from the inside of me. 'Cause all I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Is all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. 'Cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. 'Cause all I want is for you, for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted high. Oh, fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. Fill my heart till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify,
yes, Lord, fill my life.
Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want to set a fire. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain. I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you.
Listen, I want you to keep praying. There's some people that are praying. But if you have a lost child, I don't care if they're an adult or a little kid, I want you on Sunday to bring their names up. I want you to write it down. I want you to put it on this altar. And we're going to start connecting people with them that will love them. So you make sure you do that. And with God's help, now there might be more than what we got, but we'll get to them. So you do that, and we're gonna watch the Lord put all this into action. Amen. Make sure you bring that name up. Let's put it up. If you got several of them, put them all on one list, and we'll get connected. And we'll watch and see what God's going to do when we start really loving on people. Amen.
He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. How he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How
and he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden, and I am unaware of these afflictions, he clips my glory. I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
When I think about the way